Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
We look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, remember to join us in Zoom, the Zoom Fellowship, right after this. We get to see your Unity family, listen to some music, and actually have some discussion about the lesson. So we look forward to seeing you there, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, December the 12th. The key word is love, and the affirmation is love lights my way. In this Advent season, as I prepare my heart for the rebirth of my inner Christ child, I take a moment to connect with the spirit of love within. Sometimes this season may seem to be about presents, food, and celebrations, but it is really about love. Love is the power upon which the whole world revolves, especially at this busy time of year. I want to stay attuned to the love of the Christ within. Through this reciprocal power, the love I give returns to me abundantly. Love transcends all, transforming any perceived negativity into a blessing. I express love in all my words and actions. I may give a plate of homemade food or send a heartfelt note of appreciation. Whatever I do, I let the love in my heart be my guide. And the scripture reading is taken from Mark 12:31, and it reads, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater." And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, let me straighten my tie here. So we're having, today's the third in the Advent series, The Journey to Rebirth Through Love, Part 3. And we're going to open up by reading, this is what we do every year, we read sort of the explanation of what this third week or love stands for. So we're entering into the third week of Advent, which represents love and is symbolized by the baby Jesus. Jesus is a representation of boundless and unconditional love. And when we are fully grounded in faith and peace, we are able to extend the experience of love to ourselves, to each other, and to all of God's creation. It is through the union of wisdom, Joseph, and compassion, Mary, that the love and light of the Christ can come into full expression in our world. And it is by these means that Christ is indeed born in us. All right. So now we're going to light the Christ candle, the third one. Not the Christ candle, but the love candle. You can see the Christ candle in the middle. And so far we have faith, peace, and love lit. And next week we will go to joy, which will be our fourth candle. So, all right. So, you know, this is the Christmas season, and it's one of my favorite seasons. Probably, you know, if I could see your hands, you'd probably be raising your hand to it and saying, this is one of your favorite seasons as well. You know, it's a season where there's much talk and singing about the birth of the Christ. I love all the old, especially I'm really attached to the old music. You know, Nat King Cole and back in that era, you know, when we were singing all those Christmas carols. And, you know, and from the perspective of Christian metaphysics, we see the Christ being born within the heart, mind, and soul of every one of us. And metaphysically, it is a combining of wisdom, which is Joseph, and love, that is Mary, that brings our minds into a conscious awareness of the Christ presence within ourselves and within each other. And this is a wonderful and powerful acknowledgement we can use to greet each other, you know, in this Christmas season. Just imagine saying to each person you greet, or either, you know, either out loud or in your mind, you know, especially if you're in a mall, you might not want to say it out loud, but you can say it in your mind as you pass people. You know, the Christ which is born in me greets the Christ which is born in you. And think about that for a moment. The Christ that is born in me greets the Christ that's born in you. This is probably the highest acknowledgement of love that we can give each other. And there's no greater love that you can share with someone than to recognize, acknowledge that you know in your heart that the Christ is present within that person. And there's no greater love, of course, that you can share with yourself than to recognize and acknowledge that the love that in your heart is also, you also have the love in your heart of the Christ presence within you. Okay. And that's where it has to start. You know, as we share so many times, it's important to note that before you can recognize the Christ in someone else, in another, you must first be willing and able to recognize and acknowledge the Christ presence within yourself. Okay? And you might ask, well, why is that? Because only the Christ can precede the Christ. So it's only when you are in touch with your own indwelling Christ presence that you can perceive and acknowledge the Christ in another. So this is the ultimate knowing, right? And this is the ultimate knowing that really transcends all other knowing. You know, the, when you could, because we might have knowings about people that we have conjured up from our judgment, but this knowing transcends all other knowing, meaning the only thing you really should be acknowledging in that person is the Christ. And when we're able to behold a Christ in ourselves and others, it helps us chip away at what Charles Fillmore called crystallized race consciousness, that race conscious thought that would have us judge first before we see the good in each other. Okay? And this is the challenge for us, that being to reach a state of consciousness that looks for the good that exists in all appearances. And as Alexandra, I think you may say her name, Kahatris, I can't kind of say that well, but she's a psychologist, and she explains this. She says, when we're able to look beyond appearances and behold that which we truly are, we recognize that our essence is interwoven with the divine, and we exist as one of its expressions. Okay? Now, you know, let me say it again. We are interwoven into the fabric of God and exist as God's expression. And that's another elegant way of expressing, you know, what we always say, that we are God expressing. You are God expressing. I am God expressing. And we know that God is, you know, as we know, God is love, all right? And we are the instruments through which God love is to be expressed, all right? We can't hear that enough, all right? And, you know, we've heard this and read, you know, we've read it many times, and we will keep on hearing it until we get it. I mean, really get it. But the challenge for us is not getting it, but is also being able to live it. Okay, because we might get it intellectually, but can we actually live it? Especially in this climate of upheaval as we are experiencing now. I don't know if you catch the local news sometime or even the national news and the world news. You know, there's a lot of upheaval going on right now. People are hurting and acting out and demonstrating, showing how they're feeling. So I think we all know by now that walking the spiritual path is no joke, right? When we're talking about beholding the Christ in each other, you know, seeing the love in each other, seeing the love in ourselves, you know, this spiritual path is no joke. Just as changing from ego mind to Christ mind is also not an easy task, okay? It's almost sort of the way we've been programmed over years. So in a Netflix series Pam and I watch called Lost in Space, the characters are being chased by these highly evolved robots, okay, that were constantly trying to kill them. And in their search for the solution, you know, the people in outer space searching for the solution to these robots, they found the origin where the robots were first created. And they found that they were created and programmed to kill humans. So now what they had to figure out was how to change the robot's programming. So it's not that the robots were inherently bad, is that they were programmed that way and that's all they knew. But if you think about it, this has been the purpose of all the great mystics of human history. That being to change our programming. All right, and in the past two lessons in this Advent series, what we said it as, we have to have a radical shift in consciousness. All right, so change our programming is, you know, trying to get a create a radical shift in our consciousness. And that's the main purpose of Jesus' teachings, that being to shift our consciousness to a whole new way of thinking and being. And it's the reason that Jesus taught in parables, right? Now, I read in one source, it said, a parable is a parabola in that it is designed to take you out of the way you presently think about your life and your life circumstances, and then make a U-turn and bring you back into your life experience, but in a different frame of mind, a different place in consciousness. Now, let's look at what a parabola looks like, right? So, this is what a parabola looks like. Now, I know you mathematicians out there are thinking something else, but if you look at it, you see on the left, you know, this on the bottom, of course, this is our lifelong journey. On the left, we're being challenged by something in our lives. So this idea of a parable acting as a parabola is that it takes you on that curve, takes you out of what you are thinking, and puts you into a place of renewed clarity, and then brings you right back down into your life, that life experience, but now you're enlightened. Okay, so on the left-hand side, you're challenged. On the right-hand side, you now are still in the situation, but you're enlightened. You have a whole new thinking about how to deal with it. So that's what they mean by a parable is like a parabola. Okay, takes you out of the life experience, gives you some clarity, and then brings you back into the life experience from a whole new perspective. Okay, and we're gonna talk more about that as we go along. Right. Oops, sorry. So all of the gospel parables are designed to upset the logic we presently use to intellectualize and design and define our world. Okay, as one author explains it, he says, the purpose of the parables is to stun you and then take advantage of your disequilibrium to propose an outrageously new possibility. Right? So that's kind of interesting, right? So, you know, outrageously meaning, you know, new ways of being and that are far beyond our present mode of thought, okay? So this whole concept of the parable being like a parabola is, again, to take us out of the way that we normally think about the things in our lives, give us some time to get a renewed perspective of what's happening, and then bring us back into the life experience. So a parable is designed to stun us and disrupt us. And, you know, a lot of times you hear the parables of Jesus and you're kind of going, I don't know. We're going to go over one of the more challenging ones that we all know in this lesson. Okay. So, again, and the key here, you know, it's going to take us out of our present mode of thought, you know, this present mode of rationalizing how we see the world, all right, and then bring us back into it from a new perspective. Now, this is how Jesus explains, gives this explanation of love, and it's in Matthew 5:38-39. And he says, "You have," and this is one of those parables, you know, that we have a challenge with, okay? "You have heard it said that the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." Now, we all know that's Old Testament thinking, okay? But Jesus said, "I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let them have your cloak as well." Okay? That, again, that's what we mean by a parable can stun you. You can say, whoa, you know, our normal thinking, we always see a parable, whoa, wait, what? Right? Pam and always laughing at it. We hear that somewhere, whoa, wait, what? You know, if you find yourself doing that, that parable or that lesson in life is stunning you and taking you out of your normal way of thinking, okay? It's almost like when you notice your intellect is being stunned from the way it normally thinks, it's being open and receptive to that. You're saying, whoa, I'm getting ready to go on that journey of that, you know, parabola I'm being taken out of this and hopefully put into a space where I can get, you know, some more clarity about how to deal with the situation I'm going through. And even as loving as we are right now, you know, and I'm acknowledging that we're very loving people right now, in our present state of mind, this parable we just read from Jesus doesn't really make logical sense. You know, as we read it, it probably upsets our logic and leaves us stunned because we just can't make sense of what he's telling us as we are. And again, it may be for us, you know, a lot of the parables that we hear and a lot of the truth statements we hear may be for us an inconceivable or inconvenient truth. You know, y'all probably have used that every Sunday for the last few weeks. But the very purpose of Jesus' teachings is to turn our minds upside down and inside out. Okay? His teachings are designed to refresh our imagination with a new frame of reference. All right. Now, let me say that again. To refresh our imagination with a new frame of reference, just like the F5 key on your keyboard refreshes the computer or the monitor of our computer. Okay? So you know when your monitor is not doing what you want it to do, a lot of times you can hit that F5 key and it'll just refresh the whole thing. Same thing with us. That's what these parables are designed to do. They're like the F5 key in our consciousness to give us a whole new, fresh way of looking at our lives. So in a sense, to really understand the power of love, as it is taught by Jesus in the Gospels, we need to empty ourselves of ourselves so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've heard me say this before. Okay, we need to empty ourselves of ourselves so we can become filled with the Holy Spirit, as opposed to being filled with all the troubling events, people, and circumstances of this life experience. Okay. And to emphasize this notion of emptying ourselves of ourselves, let's look at another one of Jesus' parables. But this is from the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Thomas. Okay, this is how it goes. So Jesus said, "The kingdom of the Father is like a certain woman who was carrying a jar full of a meal." Okay, and while she was walking on the road, still some distance from home, the handle on the jar broke, and the meal started to empty out on the road behind her. Now, she didn't realize this. So when she reached home, she set the jar down, and she found that it was empty. Okay. So based on this parable, in Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, he's referring to a state of emptiness. Okay. Emptiness referring to being completely available to be filled with Spirit, okay, filled with God, meaning filled with divine ideas and divine inspiration, right? So that's the whole idea behind emptiness, emptying ourselves of ourselves so that we can become filled with God, filled with divine ideas, filled with inspiration, right? And that's what happens in the parabola when you're in that realm of clarification, is you're being emptied and being filled with a whole new thought process. And we reach this state by allowing the stories of the dramas in our lives to drain out of us. So as we're walking the spiritual path, just like the woman, you know, with the jar and the handle broke and the meal was draining out, same thing with us is in our spiritual journey is letting these old stories of the drama in our lives drain out of us. And right now we are the inn that is too full of our own thought people to receive the birth of the Christ. I hope you know that story with Joseph and Mary came to the inn and they said, "There's no room in the inn for you." So we are like that inn. We're filled with our own thought people, and we cannot receive the birth of the Christ child, the birth of new, inspiring ideas. So we're talking about we can't receive the birth of the Christ child. We're saying we cannot receive new, inspiring, divine ideas. And as we are now, when something happens in our lives, think about it. we completely devour it and fill ourselves with it. You know what I'm talking about? Something happens in your life, whether it's in a relationship or any other part of your life, we just, you know, fill ourselves. We devour it and we fill ourselves with it. Okay? We are consumed by all the people and events and circumstances of our lives. And from an ego perspective, there's nothing wrong with that because that is how we have always been. Okay? It is how we have been programmed to react to the human condition. But from a spiritual perspective, if we are filled with our own stories of drama, there is no room for the birth of a divine idea. So when it comes to being loving, again, we are good, loving people. Okay? We can acknowledge that about ourselves. We are good, loving people. As long as the people and circumstances fit into our existing programming. Right? But unfortunately, there is still a lot of Old Testament stuff going on that believes a punishment must match the injury, whatever that means, you know. So if someone strikes us on our right cheek, and remember, this is all allegorical, you know, the allegory of being struck on the right cheek. Most of us will not experience that physically, but some metaphor in our life might, you know, we feel like strikes us on our right cheek. And, it's, you know, if that happens, we get struck on our right cheek, whatever that might be, you know, whatever that looks like in our particular life experience. Well, I'll let you fill in the blank about how you respond to that. Because I know we probably all have our own colorful ways of reacting to that thought of what happens when life, you know, strikes me on my right cheek. How do I respond to that? But love, as Jesus is teaching it, upsets the logic of the way we might choose to think and react to troubling, challenging circumstances and people. Okay? Jesus is trying to get us to understand that a calm response of peace and love positions us to be available to receive divine inspiration and divine guidance as to how to respond in a healing, loving way. Okay? That's what we're looking to do. And again, this is what Jesus was referring to when he expressed, you know, the concept repent, okay? And the etymology, an aspect of the etymology of that word, repent means a change of mind and heart, which leads to a change in consciousness. So a change in mind and heart, which leads to a change in consciousness. And an example, in an episode of a TV program, Elementary, that hadn't been on for a while, but I still remember this episode, where Watson found Sherlock sitting in his with his head back. You know, he's just kind of sitting there, eyes closed, head back. And it looked like, you know, to Watson that Sherlock had given up on the case that they were working on. So, you know, Watson asked Sherlock about it, and Sherlock responded. He said that he wasn't giving up. Now, listen carefully. But what he was doing, he was creating a clean mental state of mind to be able to stimulate fresh, new lines of thought. That's why I remembered it. I thought that was so powerful, okay? So he had taken time out of this very challenging case that he was on to solve this crime, to just sit and clear his mind of everything that he thought it was so that he could stimulate a fresh, new line of thought. And whether we realize it or not, that's what we're striving to do through the practice of prayer and meditation and other ways of being still, okay? Even if for you that's a walk on the beach or, you know, sitting, you know, quietly in the woods or wherever it is, you know, for you, where you're kind of just trying to clear your mind of the way that you are thinking about some situation that's going on in your life. So the purpose of stillness and silence is to create a fresh, clean environment that is open and receptive to a whole new line of thought, okay? One that, like a parabola, will take us out of our present way of thinking and being, okay, and then make a U-turn and bring us back to our life, to that same situation that it took us out of, but with a whole new, fresh perspective, one that is open and receptive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I hope that makes sense, okay? And as we discuss in other lessons, ego-centered love is based on the premise that I can only love you if. Let me say that again. Ego-centered love is based on the premise I can only love you if. While God-centered love is based on the premise, I can only love you. All right? No if. All right? It is sort of like the movie Avatar, when one would look into the eyes of another and say, I see you. Okay? So in our effort to truly be able to behold the Christ in each other, we must be able to really see each other, not through the eyes of our judgmental self, but through the eyes of our loving Christ self. But for this to occur, we must become willing to allow our existing thoughts and perceptions and beliefs to drain from our mind, heart, and spirit. Just like, again, like the meal drained from the jar of the woman in the parable. And notice the woman was walking towards home. That's really a powerful part of this, that parable. She was walking towards home. See, we too are walking towards home. Home being the center of our being where the Christ resides, where love resides. Home is where we will discover who we truly are. But to get there, to find our way home, we will have to let who we are, who we believe we are, you know, all the stuff we think about ourselves and our lives, we have to let that drain from our mind. Because the clearer our mind becomes, the more we will be able to remember the way back home, the way to the center of our being, to our Christ self. But again, the question is, how do I do that? How do I let go of the programming that causes me to react to the world the way that I do so that I can become filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I do that? Well, just as Sherlock was resting and clearing his mind of old facts about a case, so should we rest and clear our minds about old facts about the case of our life. Okay? And a lot of us have these stories that keep running through our heads. But that's the whole idea of that parable, is we have to let all of that drain from us. That's why it's recorded in Mark 6:31 that Jesus said to his disciples, come with me to a quiet place by yourself and get some rest. Okay? So in those times when you recognize that your ego is overly active, keeping you from being Christ-centered, take some time to go to a quiet place within yourself and allow wisdom and love, Joseph and Mary, to reintegrate themselves into your heart and mind. And take some time to allow the Christ to be born into what you think and feel about the person or situation that's challenging your faith and disturbing your peace and preventing you from expressing love. So being connected to our indwelling Christ produces a natural sense of faith, peace, and love. It comes from realizing that we are never alone, that we are always being guided, always being protected and healed and comforted. Whereas disconnection leaves us feeling vulnerable and unprotected, which leads to making decisions based on fear instead of love. So the key to remaining harmonious, peaceful, loving, regardless of what is happening around you or to you, is to use your power of imagination. I think we said this last week. To use your power of imagination to hold a vision of the Christ presence within you. And within, not only hold a vision of the Christ presence within you, but and within everyone in every situation in your life experience. Okay? And I repeat, the only way you'll be able to behold a vision of the Christ in others is continuously do the inner work necessary to develop the strength and courage to be able to behold the Christ within yourself. Okay? And we must do this work daily to develop our inner spiritual strength. It's an everyday process, all day, every day, to become able to remain Christ-centered no matter what the circumstance or who the people in your life, you know, what is confronting you. Okay? And this is how Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, this is what she said. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed if there is a light shining from within. Okay. And when you find that you cannot remain centered in Christ while interacting with a certain person or handling a particular situation, just remember the directions given to us by Jesus. He said, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Simply meaning, just take some time to clear your head so that you can receive the guidance you need. And with the growth of the awareness of the Christ within us, we will become more aware of the love that will heal all of us, all right? And that's the key. So I'm going to end this with an affirmation from Jack Blackman's Daily Rhyming Inspirations. And this is what it says. It says, the vision of the divine is clear in my mind. And you can use this as an affirmation. The vision of the divine is clear in my mind. And I leave all concerns and worries far behind. And so it is. Amen. Now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, beloved, let's come ye apart for a while and focus our minds and hearts on the amazing power of love. Love is the candle that was lit today. So close your eyes and place your feet flat to the earth. Take in a deep breath and release it. Tuning into your higher self, the divine within, shines a light on the next right step on your path. Slowly and deeply breathe in and out, allowing your body to come into balance with your heart. All in humanity is bound by the thread of love that connects all sentient beings. All that move upon the earth and through the skies are one. As you focus on your breathing and your heart center, please take these words as your very own. On this day of Advent called love, I remember to let love open my heart and inspire my life. Claiming my oneness, I live life awakened to the awareness of the deep abiding love of God. I hold love as my divine inheritance and remind myself often that God is love. Therefore, I am love. Love is my countenance as I walk through the moments and hours of my days. I embody love that sees God until good is what appears in my life. I hold to a posture of love by opening my heart with compassion and loving kindness for my world and all its inhabitants. And now, as we prepare to enter the secret place of the Most High, take with you the faith, peace, and love in preparation for the coming joy of this Advent season. We are grateful for love that is made manifest through God expressing as creation. We let it be so that it can become. When you are ready, come back to this time and space. We give thanks in the name and nature of the living Christ presence, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the some of the treasure that flows into our spiritual, to our personal life, to flow into our spiritual home. And we give thanks for all the wonderful donations that you've been sending to support Unity Center of Light. So with that in mind, let's do our affirmation together, blessing our offering.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now you have light notes?
Yes. So light notes for today, December the 12th. On Sunday, December the 19th, the Reverend Ramona Harper will be speaking for us on the theme of joy. We hope you will join with us and share your joy with your Unity family. Our musician will be our dear friend, Safi. Christmas Eve candle lighting service is Friday, December 24th at 7 p.m. Please join us for readings, music, candle lighting, and more. There will be a special Zoom link for this virtual service. Contact April if you would like to participate in this service. All our special holiday services are listed in your e-newsletter and updates, so please check them carefully so you can be informed about what's happening. And now we have an announcement with Reverend Butch about commitments.
So our 2022 commitments will begin soon. Boy, this is December the 12th, and the year has just kind of shot by us. So if you have not filled out a, we'll be making the commitment forms available soon for you to fill out and return them to us. And you'll be hearing more about that as time moves on. Okay. So now let's...
Bless the path.
Bless the path. Okay.
So let's bless the path that we each will walk this week. Let's say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Now let's do our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been a pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom right after this to just celebrate and fellowship with us for a while. Other than that, make sure you have a wonderful and blessed and safe week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.